SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Call it hour three. Is there a worse feeling in all of horseplay than the first leg of a multi-race sequence that you put some money in and seeing things go sideways and then seeing a Dale Roman's horse that you're plenty familiar with on his way to a win at 12 to 1? There's no quicker way to jump off the grandstand than under that scenario. And, you know, Dale, it was hard this morning when I talked about, you know, kind of the overall weekend and Saturday night at Churchill. I had to hearken back to, you know, your place on the dais when it came to the Belmont draw. And you were threatening Baffert already for the Travers. You didn't even have to wait until August. You beat him. Well, you beat him on Saturday.
Yeah, we beat him on Saturday. He wasn't quite with the Triple Crown winner, but it was with a pretty good horse. I'd like to know how many times him and I have run 1-2 in races, and most of the time he's the one. But I've gotten him a few times in some good ones.
You know, I'm sure there's listeners that remember that you very much, when I asked you about King Zachary, who was being pointed toward the wood, and I said, introduce us, and you said, he'll introduce himself. That in the wood, he was meek, but it's obvious that you didn't lose confidence.
No, we never lost confidence in him. He was a very talented horse, and he showed it the other night. You know, he got started a little late, sort of like Justified, did a little problems here and there, but he is, I think we finally saw his breakthrough race, and I was expecting just to keep moving forward.
I asked Doug O'Neill the same question, because there's harmonies between Pavel's win in the Foster and this win in the Matt Wynn. And, you know, the horse had run a bunch of 70 buyers and was going to have to, you know, quote unquote, improve. Talk about the process. After the maiden win, you went right to the wood. You only have a certain number of chances to, you know, to get to Derby. We all understand that. But help people understand the decision-making process, you know, you and Mr. Conway, you know, talking about the campaign and then regrouping, winning the allowance, and then, you know, taking a shot in here.
Well, yeah, we were chasing Derby points like everybody at that time of year. And you have to, you know, say your horse is running 70s and he's got to improve. Well, if you're hanging on to them and you're keep on staying with them, they're showing you something in the mornings that, you know, once they put it all together, they're going to move. They're just going to increase by leaps and bounds and do better and better. But this horse, you know, he had a tough 2-year-old where he had a little problem here and there. We brought him out. He ran a big race first time out. Third half, Newton's was really good. Cole can't think of his name, but it was a nice race. And came back at Gulfstream after some other little issues, nothing major. And was probably the worst trip I've ever seen a horse get. A horse tried to make the gap on him. Robbie says the closest he's been to a walk in a race in his life, trying to pull a horse up to keep him from running over the other one. And he comes on to run third. So he showed the talent. Then when he broke his maiden by 8, you can't sit around and wait. You got to get into the heat of it and get into the graded company. And with 3-year-olds, that's really, if you got a good one, that's the right progression. I mean, you can only really run them in one more allowance race. And then the two other hands never go for the 3-year-old. So we tried the wood. It didn't work out. We decided to back up, run him on Derby Day. If we weren't going to make the Derby, we'd back up a little bit. And he ran huge in that allowance race and then came back and backed it up the other night.
When it came to the trip and what you and Robbie were expecting in here, what was the discussion? It sure looked like he got a beautiful trip right behind the speed. I saw on the backstretch, I said, look at this, King Zachary's in the pocket. He's sitting a garden trip.
Yeah. I'll tell you something a little bit funny about the race, if people don't really know the ins and outs. But first of all, we've been working really hard on getting Tiz Mischief into the race, hoping we could get him to get into the races a little bit instead of, you know, lollygagging and trying to make one run. Now, I never expected us to be the one pressuring Bob. I thought Tomlinson's horse from the inside would come out and put the pressure on him. But when it happened, I was comfortable with it. And if you watch, Robbie is. He's sitting in the catbird seat in the paddock. He said, I'd like to be sitting third and then just try to loop around at the head of the lane just like it happened. We weren't expecting it to be Tiz Mischief, though, up there with him. I told Corey to get Tiz Mischief out of the running. I didn't expect he could keep up, but I was proud of him, too. But if you watch around the between the 3/8 pole and the quarter pole, Robbie's on the rail, and Corey's on the lead, and Robbie decides to pull out and go around instead of sitting there. And that's because with all my jocks, especially these two, they've ridden so many races for me. I tell them all the time, under no circumstances is anybody at any time supposed to pass you on the left. That's the one thing I will fire you over. So Robbie said when he was turning for home, he was on the rail, and he thought about trying to come through, and he said he understood no circumstances. So he went around. And it worked out pretty well for him.
Very much. And Tiz Mischief was actually, you know, people should go back and watch this because you put away Axeman, and here's King Zachary just striding away from them. And Tiz Mischief stayed nice for a second.
Eight lengths in front of the third horse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I can't say I was as happy as the win, but I was just about as happy just to know he's back and going to run the way I expect him to this year.
And, you know, he's a horse, we should fold him in, and then we'll find out how you're going to move forward from here. You know, you tried him in the American Turf, which, you know, is a thing you cross out. He had, you know, all kinds of things to deal with in the Bluegrass. And, you know, really, you can make excuses for a lot of what's gone on with him. That's something
and
to build off.
He's always been a little bit of a immature mentally type of horse. And but I think he's starting to put it all together. I don't know where we go from here with him, but, I mean, he'd be, you know, we'll look around at all the derbies and see what's out there.
Well, exactly. And this is his second placement in a graded stake. And then for King Zachary, you know, I sent you a note yesterday morning. I know you don't pay attention to speed figures unless your horses run a good one.
Hello.
Yep. Did I lose you for a sec?
Yeah, you said, no, you don't what?
I said, I know you don't pay attention to speed figures too much unless your horse runs a good one. So I wanted to let you know. I wanted yesterday to let you know. I knew the number was going to come back strong at 98.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate you texting that to me because that's always good. I said it to his owner. He's on cloud nine. Tom Conway's a great Kentuckian, and he's on cloud nine.
Well, nice next logical step for him, and I suppose you have to be thinking Jim Dandy, Haskell, kind of a.
Those would be the two spots we'd have to decide which one. I don't know if we want to take on Justified just yet, but I'm sure he'll end up in the Haskell. That's Bob's pattern is pretty easy to read there. So we'd probably be Jim Dandy.
Well.
Not a bad little race to have on your resume, though.
No, and it might as well get the Saratoga Tribe. He's a Curlin. He's out of a Giant's Causeway mare, and you know every reason to believe that you know the mile and an eighth, and then the beyond, you know should suit him.
I always said the further the better. That's why I wanted to get into the Derby. I wanted to see him go a mile and a quarter, and I think he'd have been a force in there.
Well, King Zachary fulfills ambitions and expectations, and he's got lots to look forward to. Dale, speaking of Justify, some thoughts about Saturday night and the 25,000 on hand to enjoy another Triple Crown winner parading?
Well, I've said this before on your show. If you were down on Churchill Downs, it's understandable. But they're starting to do a lot of things right. And I thought Friday night was, night racing. They have figured out. They've made it a lot of fun. And for Bob to bring the horse over, I don't know if I could have done that, to get him up and make him walk over my Triple Crown winner. That was great of Bob to do that. And the horse acted good. And it was a special night.
there's nothing more special than that Belmont. I was at, you know, of course, we were in the Farrell race when he won the Triple Crown. But I'm telling you, at Belmont the other day, the noise was so loud when he was coming down the lane. Just the volume was shaking the building. And I think that I've never seen anything like that before.
You know, I said on Saturday night to Baffert that I, because it came up, and I said I think it was louder than it was for Farrow, and he didn't. That's what I thought, and he didn't want to hear that. He's like, no, it wasn't louder than Farrow.
I think it was too. I'm with you. I mean, yeah. The whole building was literally shaking, and it was just from the vibration of the noise. And it was young people out there, energetic, having fun. And it was the whole day was great racing. Friday or Saturday night here was great racing all day. I mean, there's a lot of positives out there.
No doubt. And the fact that we're going to be able to see this horse race some more, that's a positive for everybody. Where are you? And there's a couple of other horses to talk about from the weekend while this comes up. Obviously, Free Drop Billy, who kind of just went around. But Promises Fulfilled ran a miraculous race. And for him to hold third going that pace was astounding.
That was pretty amazing. And you know, I don't know I've ever had a horse go a half that fast, 43-60, and then keep going for sure. It was pretty amazing. And we'll probably point him towards, like, the Amsterdam, try to get him ready for the Alan Jerkins. Of course, that's a trophy I want to have on my mantle if we can win that, because Alan's so important to me. But I think that's where we'll go with him. Billy, I mean, he ran a decent race. He didn't get beat bad, and he was right there with him. This is what he is, and he's a good, solid little horse. But we'll probably try him on the turf next. I don't know where, maybe the Secretariat. His brother is one of the best turf horses in the world.
Yeah, that's fair. Hawkbill, we're going to see this week, of course. Yep, we're going to see him at Royal Ascot later this week. Unbeknownst or under the radar, I saw Cove Blue win a nice allowance.
Cove Blue's a very good horse, and I might take them both to the Amsterdam and Saratoga. They're both nice horses. I think they're both one-turn type horses. And I'm not positive on him, but that's been good. He came out of his race in good shape. And I'll tell you who the sleeper in the crowd is, though you've never asked me about, is Mr. Freeze. I don't know if you've seen his races, but he's 2-for-2 now. One at Keeneland, and another night at Churchill 2 weeks ago, he stumbled out of the gate, got himself up, and I thought he'd be 5 in front down the backside. He was 5 behind the field and got up to win the tough allowance race second start. He's probably going to the Iowa Derby.
Nice. And that's, what, that's 2 weeks away? 2 weeks away?
Yeah, 2 weeks away. Yep.
Yeah.
So we got some excitement after Derby. You know, after Triple Crown, there's always a little low, but we got a couple things to look forward to.
Yeah, and we always look forward to a chance to talk to you, Dale. And pleased you're going to keep some horses for Ellis Park, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, all the babies will start coming out at Ellis. You know, that's where I like to get my baby started. It's a good time of year. It's a good track to do it on, and it's really getting a solid reputation as producing some of the best horses.
No doubt. And who's the most promising two-year-old right now that you're looking forward to?
It's still too early to say. There's a bunch of them out there that are really doing good. I had a good crop last year, and I think we've got to have a good crop this year.
All right. Well, I asked you 2 weeks ago, and you wouldn't tell me then either. So, all right. I thought maybe I'd
No, I mean, it's horse by horse. Right by now, you. I told you. It's like, ask me which one my children like the best. And you're the only one I tell that I like Bailey.
Well, wait, but we know the answer to that. It's Bailey.
You're the only one I ever told.
You said that, you know, Tis Mischief was kind of slow developing and you know, needed some time. We weren't sure if you were talking about Tis Mischief or Jake.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Both. Jake's coming around. Now, listen, Jake's got a really good jockey. He's become a jocks agent. I'm very proud of him. He's doing a great job with Channing Hill. And I think he's finally found his groove.
That's very cool. It is cool.
He's really doing good. It just takes a while sometimes to find what you're good at.
Where are they going to... Where's he going to? He's going to go to Ellis, or what's Channy going to do?
I think Channy's going to go to Chicago, and Jake will operate out of here.
Oh,
here, go a couple times a month.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of shippers from Churchill. You stay right here and do real well at Arlington.
Well, and of course, his father-in-law having Wayne there doesn't hurt.
No, that helps too. You know, their first six wins or seven wins were between Wayne and myself, and that's what Channing said. Well, at least the fathers are keeping us afloat. But this week they've knocked off two for outside people, and they're doing real well.
Well, and it's good for Wayne too, because he's got a jock agent he can go nose to nose with when it comes to Jay.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have to. Yeah, they can look at it. Wayne was to give Jake his first start as a jockey's agent was very nice, and Wayne was a lot behind that, getting that going and helping him learn how to do it.
That's very
Wayne's
cool.
Wayne's a sharp guy, Wayne Catalano.
Oh, he's the greatest. Everybody loves Wayne. And everybody loves Dale. Dale.
All right.
Well done.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk soon. Dale Romans, everybody. You follow Dale on Twitter, Romans Racing. And so much fun. And, of course, a hero. For those of you that didn't listen, Belmont Week saved a girl was choking at Citi Field after the draw. Unbelievable. It's all in a day's work for Dale Rowan. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get Tim Gleishaw in here, and looking forward to this. Gleishaw getting ready to send Puchero in as high profile a spot as you can come up with. The King's Stand tomorrow. Jose Ortiz will ride. Tim Gleishaw from the UK. And should be fun. I can tell if you haven't seen the pictures, and Tim is on, whether it's on Twitter and Facebook, he's been sharing the experience with everybody. And, you know, given what transpired, back earlier this spring, it's pretty nice that for the whole barn to have this experience and opportunity. Tim Gleishaw next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Races about 15 into hour three, and right about this time tomorrow, in fact, the King's Stand the King's Stand officially, I'll tell you exactly when, I think, 10:40 tomorrow, so less than 24 hours from now, and Buchero has been so good under the care of Tim Gleishaw and his staff getting an experience of a lifetime in preparation for Royal Ascot that kicks off tomorrow. Tim Gleishaw joins us. Tim, awfully exciting.
Yeah, it's been a great experience so far. Everyone here has treated us exceptionally well. We're in Newmarket, stable at Abington Place, and, you know, obviously from Wesley and people you've talked to before, you know, obviously it's a different way of training over here. We have various things, places we can gallop every day on the poly track, on the turf, uphill, downhill. Luke Carroll really seems to like it over here. And, you know, they don't give him much of a shot. We all bet him a little bit at the bookmakers yesterday at 33-1. And, you know, I really, really, truly believe we just wouldn't have come over here for no reason. So, if he runs his race and can handle the not racing on Lasix, I think racing in a straight line will help him. It'll help him go faster in the entire race instead of having to slow down on the turn. And I think we have a pretty good shot. But, you know, I've told everyone over here that they had probably 50 people here on press day. And I told them, you know, if he runs his race, he'll be right there. Whether right there is first or fourth, I'm not sure, but he'll be competitive.
And I was going to ask you about the difference and your expectation about running the straight versus the turn. And he is an authentic 5-furlong turf sprinter. And so distance wise, this could suit. And he's always forwardly placed. I'm excited to hear you say that you expect that the straight plays to his advantage.
Yes, there's some races, just like his last race at Churchill. Now, he was compromised. He got bumped by Jason Service's favorite, that Paco Lopez was on, and we think that cost him the race. You know, we could be biased. He hit pretty hard on the turn. But he was also, you know, forced out about 6 wide, but he had started making his move on the middle of the turn, and he was going to end up 5 or 6 wide anyway, just because he doesn't get out on the turn. But sometimes when he starts his acceleration on the turn, he just can't. He's going too fast to stay in close to the rail. Obviously, going in a straight line, you don't have that as an excuse. You know, there's some worry with other horses running in a straight line for the first time about switching leads. Our horse, it's all mental. Even when back when Mike Trombetta had him and was doing a very good job with him until he got transferred to me, I think in about 2 races of his life, he switched leads. And he has nothing physically wrong with him. You know, that's the biggest worry about horses that don't switch leads, there's something wrong with them. Obviously, he doesn't have anything wrong with them. It's all in his head. So, we're really, really hoping that maybe not going around the turn will also help that. But even if it doesn't, I think that he can keep his acceleration started sooner and keep it going without having to deal with the turn. Of course, you know, this will be the only time in his life likely that he does this. So, you know, he's going to be right back on turns pretty soon. And, you know, turf turns being on the inside of the turf course, unless you're at Woodbine. I mean, and on the inside of the dirt course, unless you're at Woodbine, are always tighter than dirt turns. So, you know, that explains part of it. But we really, really think that'll help him. And, you know, we have Jose Ortiz on board, you know, probably the hottest jock in America now, or one of the. And just very, very excited to be here, and it's sort of a thrill. You know, you've followed what we've done the last year, and, you know, going from never winning anything but a Grade 3 stake to winning a Grade 2, a Grade 1, going to the Breeders' Cup, and now this. It's just sort of a spectacular feat for a barn our size, you know. And obviously we're, you know, everybody involved is very, very thrilled with being able to run at such a prestigious meet. And it's my first time in Europe, so, you know, I got to see England and London and everything for the first time. So it's just been quite a thrill.
You know what you need is one of those traveling lads that they have. Maybe Drury could be a good traveling lad.
I don't think Claiborne and his other owners would appreciate him being gone for 10 days. So.
Well, you know that, I mean, there's so many, Tim, I mean, so many people, and of course, you know, earlier this year, such a difficult circumstance. And so to have an uplifting opportunity and experience like this, I mean, so many people just watching, you know, your travel log, you know, some of the pictures you were sending out while you were waiting for Bechero to arrive, and now it's all business. But, you know, clearly, you know, you've had really a special experience. How many people from the barn came?
Actually, no one. We hired someone from outside the barn.
Okay.
Heather Hall, that trained the horse for one race and won the Too Much Coffee a couple of years ago. She's going to be our groom. And not that we didn't want to bring our groom, but there were passport issues. And you know, the only person in our barn that had a valid passport that hadn't expired was my new assistant, Jeff Gomez, there. And you know, he has to be there because we won a race actually when I landed in New York. And a horse named One River Place that we had claimed from Al Stahl, he won 59 winners to two. And then we've also won a race with American Greatness that actually Harlan owns, the owner, Iron Horse Racing owns as well, on last race on Stephen Foster night. So he had a job to do back there, so he couldn't come here, even though I'm sure he wanted to. But so it's just me, except it's a little different than Breeders' Cup. We decided to actually bring someone this time so I could, you know, have a little bit more fun and actually talk to the press without horses' poop stains all over my pants from taking care of two horses the entire time. So, you know, we're moving up in the world a little bit.
Absolutely. You mentioned Iron Horse. How many are they bringing for tomorrow?
Actually, they have, it's a group of five partners, and all of them are going to be here. I think two of them arrived today. The other one brought his whole family about a week ago and spent time in London, his wife and both of his kids. And then one of Harlan's, the man who started Iron Horse with Harlan about nine years ago now, he got here a few days ago. So everyone in the group's coming, to my knowledge, at least that's what last I heard. So it's going to be a pretty big deal. And you know, we had to go, as you've seen on Facebook and Twitter, we had to go be fitted for our top hat and tails. And there's been a news crew from World Horse Organization that's followed us, or World Horse Racing, that's followed us around most of the time here, and will be following us around tomorrow. So it's been sort of a big deal. I, as Harlan said today, there's probably never been a 33-1 horse ever get so much attention for a race ever. So, you know, and none of that can hurt, right? So, and you know, we don't think that he should be 33-1, as we've discussed. I mean, he did beat Lady Aurelia, his 2-1. Now, mind you, you know, she didn't have the best of trips in the Breeders' Cup, but neither did we. So, It gives me some confidence that if she's 2-1, there's no way we should be 33. But we'll have to wait and see. I know part of that's based on her performances here. You know, she's won twice here. We've never run on the course, so I'm a good enough handicapper to understand that. I just don't understand the huge price difference. There's another really nice horse, a European horse named Batash, that's in the race. And, you know, I've told a couple people, chances are that Lady A and Batash might have to run their B races when we run our A race. But I do believe that we'll be fairly competitive. You know, the only question is not running on Lasix for the first time, but he's never, ever bled through Lasix at home. So I'm hoping on a one-time deal that you know, he'll be fine. But, you know, really, he's been doing great here. He's training like he was going into the Breeders' Cup, and that was his, you know, even though he didn't win the race, that was one of his best races ever. So I think if he can duplicate that performance, that he should be, you know, in the top 3 or 4. So,
Tim, he's going to leave from the 5 hole in terms of post position, and when it comes to the straight, the field, it has, you know, has that splitting effect. What, if any, discussion is there with Jose? I mean, who's famously good with horses on and near the lead.
You know, we think that's where he'll be. And actually, all the, at least in our opinion, and I'm not downplaying anyone because, you know, it's really tough to compare American form to European form, but it looks like all the horses that we, at least we think that we have to contend with, are all on our side. There's a horse called Cashy that's very, very fast, that's right next to us. Batash is on our side, meaning, you know, if you'd broke the field in half. So is Lady Aurelia. So I think that the side that we'll be on, you know, that's what I said when I watched races over and over and over again, that Harlan would pull up and send to me, the owner would pull up and send to me, is that, you know, they do break in half. And I was like, well, hell, you can win your race over here and still finish fourth, you know? So we're on the half with all the ones that look like they're going to be, well, the two favorites and a couple 8-1s. It looks like the main competitors in the race. So I think whoever wins on, if they do divide, if they do break into half, that we're on the half, that at least we know that if you win the half, you won the race more than likely. As for any strategy, you know, we've never done this before. You know, we've gone over and over and over and over and over what to do. He seems to be a little bit best, but Caro does, if he can sit right off the pace. You know, by right off, I mean maybe a length and a half, but not too far back, because speed is natural for him. Then we look at some of the European form over here, and the horses that are, you know, have 1-1, 1-1, 1-1 sometimes go in 23-4 early. Well, I mean, I told Harlan, if they go in 23-4 early, we're on the lead. I mean, there's absolutely no way you can keep him off the lead. You would be choking him, you know. So, but, you know, they also run on a much softer turf over here most of the time, so I'm not sure how much that affects those times. You know what I mean? In a perfect world, you know, we would have a horse at least to sit right off of. That would be perfect. But if he breaks on top and he's on top early, you know, I don't think you'd take a horse back from that. You know, you give him his best shot, you know, especially since as we discussed, he's running in a straight line for the first time, you know, and hopefully, if our theory's correct, he can maintain that and then speed up and not have to, you know, have a turn to go around. I think that's all up to Jose. You know, all I'm going to tell him is, look, he needs to be within 2 of the lead, and then where he ends up, and Jose's a professional enough and experienced enough rider, won enough races to know what he wants to do from that point on.
Well, and for you, just an absolute wonderful experience, and everybody rooting for Tim. We'll be listening here. We'll take the race live, and as you mentioned, anywhere from 30 to 40 to 1 in the betting shops. We'll see tomorrow, but there is a huge difference. We've discussed this before about the turn, the horses turning on the turf sprint course versus the straight, and you know, the horses that can just go, you know, all out on the straight. We've seen them outperform their odds, and we're certainly looking to that with you tomorrow in Bechero. So best of luck. Get lucky and safe trip.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you very much for having me on. And we appreciate all the support from all the people back home, and as well as as over here. It's been tremendous, and actually Australia and every place. We've gotten a lot of attention on Twitter, so appreciate all the people for following him, and he'll go and run his best, I can promise you that. So.
Outstanding. Well done. Tim Glyshaw, everybody, and you follow Tim, TGLY, TGLY, on Twitter, and it's been really fun. And of course, you know, the up and down life and swings for anybody that participates, and you know, the tragedy involving Bullard's Alley, and this uplifting experience, and we hope that Bucciero, who has as regularly outperformed expectation, and I mean I've bet on him a few different times, and you're never shortchanged. I mean, certainly that, as Tim alludes, the, you know, the Breeders' Cup, he's. Can he win? I don't know. You got Batash and Lady Aurelia, who doesn't seem at her best. Let's be honest. I mean, come on. It's been okay, but it's not the same. Not the same sparkle. That Blue Point, who got interested in, you know, going back to Dubai, and Blue Point, a horse that I respect very much in here. Washington, D.C. Is involved as well for Coolmore. We've certainly seen him enough. It's a good group. They don't run these for laggards. Let's be honest. These are serious group. They're running for 305,000 pounds, and serious group of turf sprinters as Royal Ascot kicks off tomorrow. Let's take a break. Got plenty more to do. Last half hour on this Monday. Been full throttle since the bell. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a good boy oughta. And your mama takes a shine of her best son. Something different, all the girls are seeming to like you. Cause you're handsome, like to talk and a whole lot of fun.
We're back at the races.
But now you're
and just off with Tim Gleishaw, who is preparing for a start at Royal Ascot. And I guess that's maybe the last thing or the next thing that Bob Baffert might want to try to do is take a horse to Royal Ascot and win over there now that he has sent out a second Triple Crown winner back home in California, as is Justify. And we couldn't talk to Bob last week, so it's a pleasure to have him join us now between Justify, Abel Tasman, and Opportunity's performances going back to last Saturday. Bob, congratulations on just a remarkable accomplishment and a great weekend in New York.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's sort of just sinking in now, and it was a whirlwind of racing. You know, I think, you know, 112 days and that horse pulled it off, but, you know, I couldn't have done it without the great team that I have beside me. So it was quite a thrill.
We've been able to talk all the way through this whole trip with this horse, and you know, you were telegraphing that there was something special and unique, and some people believe some needed to be shown.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe, but, I've been really lucky to have some really great horses. And so, so I knew that he was showing me stuff that just a great one to show. And so, when you've been able to have horses like that, I know when I have something that's just has the super horse type, you know, superior horses. And so, they just train differently, the way they move, the way they work in the morning, just the way they handle things. And he was one. I mean, he was showing me some ridiculous things in the morning and without letting them really do much. But they tip you off. Those really good ones, see, they tip you off, really.
And you were hinting at it. And Jay Privman wrote and has explained that you had said to him, "I've got big plans for that colt," and then I was out in California when you brought Lenny Shulman, and you said, "You want to come see the Derby winner?" And I think he didn't. I think he thought he was going to McKenzie's call.
No, but he just been here, and he was in a hurry, and I showed him McKenzie and all that, and he was going out the gate, and I said, "Well, where are you going?" He's like, "I got to go do another interview." I said, "Well, come here. You didn't see the Derby winner." I just said it jokingly, you know, and he came and looked at him. And so, we just had really high praise for him. I really thought McKenzie was going to win the Derby. I thought, you know, he's good enough to win it. And then, unfortunately, when he got hurt. But this horse, this Justify, he was just, you know, and the thing is, not only is he a really good horse, but he looks the part. I mean, every bit of him is just his presence is just and his mind and the way he walked into the paddock like the t-shirt says act like you've been there. That was him. He was just he did things that were I know people say, well, there's no way he doesn't have enough seasoning. Well, I'd rather take the less seasoning and have a superstar and lead one up there like that. Cause, and I felt extra pressure, Steve, because when you have one like that, you know, like they say, a loaded gun is dangerous in anybody's hands, and he was a loaded gun. And so I'm just glad that we were able to pull it off with him because I didn't want that talent to go to waste.
There's a couple of questions that kind of have emerged, and one of the things you said to Andy Serling in the interview that he did with you, that you were a little shaken immediately after the Preakness, but with each passing opportunity to, and we talked after that first workout post Preakness, and you said you were nervous. You told Tim Layden you were more nervous for that than anything else that had gone on, but that once he worked the way he did, you were back feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, it was you know, when he in the you know, that 2 week span, you know, we had the issue with the foot gate, you know, the heel when he came out, he was, and so I was dealing with that, and I couldn't train him. Then we got to Pimlico. It was raining every day, so I didn't want that foot to come back and bother him again. So you're on pins and needles, and we really had to train him really light for that. So that horse basically, he willed himself in on that race, and then taking the heat from Good Magic, Mike kept getting away from Good Magic so he could slow him down. You know, the way to slow him down was just get him away where he just settled, and he was settled, but Ortiz just kept following him out until he had him in about the eight hole and kept pushing him out. And then when Mike realized, boy, this guy's going to just take me to the outside fence and then cut the corner, well, he had to ask, justify it. But see, I didn't know what was going on because of all the fog.
Sure.
And so Mike said I had to move early on him so he wouldn't, Mike saw what was going on. That's what Mike, that's where he, you know, that's when you need somebody really great. He had to go to a different plan. He had to take over the situation. And that's where he won the Triple Crown right there, is that he just said, you know, I trust my horse, and he's a good one, and he just asked him to do something, and he did it. And at the end, I thought, you know, when he hit the wire, I was like everybody else, I thought he was empty. And then when I talked to Mike, he told me what has gone on. He said, Bob, he had a lot more there. I said, I didn't know it was that close. I didn't see that horse on the outside coming. But believe me, I had a lot more horse. I could have won by more. And I felt better after that. But I was like everybody else. I thought, well, maybe we got to the bottom of it.
You came to New York, and there were just two gallops, and those two mornings, particularly the first morning, and no earplugs and whatever, and he just floated over the surface. When he came down the stretch, I was getting ready to go on the air, and it was like a whoosh, and I was convinced right then. I said, he's just gonna take him on a merry chase. He's gonna run him off their feet.
Yeah, I mean, that first day I galloped him there, and when he came around there, I thought, boy, he couldn't be doing any better. He was coming into that race the best he's come into any of the races. And in the day before, I went a little bit lighter on him because I knew in the one hole we were going to have to send him hard away from there, and he was going to have to leave there like a quarter horse. And so he was coming out the track. I just knew that, you know, it's doable. You know, we still need some racing luck. I never get too ahead of myself. And once Mike got him out of the gate and got him running away from there, then I knew we were in good shape, because there's no horse that can really run with him. He's so fast. He's just quick. He's quick. And Mike Smith out of the gate is just, that's one of the main reasons I put him on there. He's probably one of the gate riders, best gate riders there is. And he knew what to do, and he stayed focused the whole time. If you notice Mike Smith, every time he went a race with his horse, he never got up and jumped around, pumped his fist. He made sure that horse, you know, pulled up the, you know, because I always tell him, you know, a lot of these horses, they're very vulnerable at the end of these races, and they're tired. And when the jockey starts jumping up and down, you know, shifts those weights, and that's when things, you know, they can, it can't be good for the horse. And he made sure that he pulled him up. He was just focused to the very end, and he took care of his horse. And, you know, I think Mike, he should get so much credit for this, because he put himself in a very elite jockey group now, being able to win the Triple Crown and all those big races. He's won every major race in the Triple Crown. I mean, that was, he puts him up there, you know, with the Shoemakers and all the top riders ever.
Well, this is, for him, kind of a career pinnacle and a career cap. I asked him last week, you know, what else is there to do? And then, of course, you know, for you, you've been deflecting all of this from, you know, from the start, but the winningest Triple Crown trainer, equaling now Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons with a second Triple Crown winner. I mean, what, as you say, it's been a week, and you had the big night Saturday night getting the trophies. What are your thoughts personally, Bob? I mean, what does this mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think the best part of it is that you know, I got to share it with my family, my kids, my siblings. They were all there. And it's something that we think of our parents, you know, because my dad's the one that got me into this beautiful game. It was his love for horses and that, you know, got us in. Otherwise, you know, I would have never known what a racehorse. He just loved animals and bought a couple mares and thought he could, you know, have him to race, and it was his passion and love for the horses that, you know, got me involved. And I just hung around with him. I was like Bodie's age, just hanging with him. And so that's where I got the bug, and it sort of starts from there. So every time we get together, we just all think of him and how, you know, proud they would have been, you know, my parents, how proud they would have been of me to, you know, they were my biggest cheerleaders. And it was a very emotional year for me, you know, losing Brad McKenzie. I was thinking about him all the time. And there was an owner that we lost. It's Jim Basher. It was a super nice man that, you know, he was always my biggest fan, would text me and just kept, you know, his wife said, you kept him alive longer because he just loved watching you and talking to you. And so things like that, you know, I just really, I think of all those people. And you know, when you have a horse like Justify and they're going for the Triple Crown, it's exciting. It helps our sport, makes people feel really good. Even people that don't know anything about race, it makes them feel really good when they can see a beautiful animal, you know, accomplish something like that. And so, you know, that horse, you know, he brought a lot of joy to a lot of people that we don't even know.
And you've talked about that before, that you hear all the time about the horse or, you know, some, whether it's a child, whether it's somebody that is, you know, facing adversity or illness, it's a part that, you know, that we can't publicize enough, frankly. It is, you know, it's very heartening. I should also let you take some, you know, take some bows for what went on even before Justify ran, because Hopportunity, who was meant to go a mile and a half on that racetrack, just like Justify, and Abel Tasman with a terrific snapback performance.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to see those horses run so well. They, you know, Hopportunity and Abel, I brought them back to Santa Anita. We got them ready here, and for them to run, I mean, Abel, she brought her A game and was, you know, really near that race at Churchill and came back and just, you know, showed her stuff. And then Opportunity, who's just a barn favorite, who just been around forever. And it's really, he's such a neat little horse, and everybody loves Hopper. And he just, you know, for him to do what he did, it was really exciting for the connections, you know, Pegram Watson and Whiteman and, you know, and Carl and Watson and Paul Whiteman, they were there on see it. So you know, there's nothing like when you win on those big days, it's so exciting. It's just, you know, you need to win on those big days. To me, it's very important. It's such a big arena. And so, there's nothing like winning on those big days. So I'm just glad that all my horses, they ran their A, they brought their A games. And, you know, it's so important that you need to bring the A game on those big days.
There were a couple of other below-the-radar performances and even some things away from Belmont. People may not have noticed that Fapien clearly has found herself on the right surface. It looks like she's got a grass future.
Yeah, she ran her heart out. She ran such a, you know, she ran too good to lose. And so we got beat by another California great trainer, Neil Drysdale. So, but, you know, it's just been, you know, we've been really fortunate that, you know, we have these nice horses and find the right spot for them. And it just, you know, it never ends. I came back here. We're just getting those two-year-olds ready now. And we never have a break. You know, it was something that, but we look forward to it. I mean, we want to get back. We want to get back there. And I'm trying to, you know, we'd love to go through it again. And, you know, just winning the Kentucky Derby is just, to me, it's just the biggest thrill that there is. And I still can't believe that we won it so many times and been so close and, you know, winning 15. I remember when Lucas had won 12, I go, wow, that number is like, it'll never be touched, you know? So, but, you know, it just means that I'm getting old, I guess. So, but it was glad. It was really happy to see Wayne, you know, he gave us a scare in the Preakness, and you could tell he was just so proud of the fact, and he's really roots for me, you know, and so it's a fun rivalry that we have now, and he's still one of the greatest trainers ever.
Where do you think, as you get a couple of weeks here, and the horse has to just impress you and astound you, even the gallops on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, showing tremendous energy on the back end of this speculation. I was at Monmouth on Thursday for the sports betting kickoff, and you know, they're already excited about the potential for you to come there with him.
Was there an early bet on him showing up somewhere?
there's people taking action, yes, on Tunisia, and I bet Portugal, and some people were advanced betting how many hot dogs at Max's you might have.
I'm a one hot dog guy, Max. That's all I can handle.
Any speculation that you, or any input you want to offer regarding what Steve Anderson wrote yesterday about the potential to come back east for either or the big
You know
summer.
What, we haven't really, we're just waiting to see, you know, we probably wouldn't make that call for another couple of weeks. We're just going to see how he trains back here and see, you know, how he, because there's, you know, it's a lot of pressure having a horse like this. Just like American Pharoah, I just waited and waited, and I didn't really know I was going to go to the Haskell until about the work before, you know. So usually I don't know those things until, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks. But I know when I do decide, I'm sure that Elliot and Kenny Trout, they'll be announcing that, so that we don't make a move without putting our heads together and having to sit down and decide, you know, the pros and cons of where we go, because, you know, now we've got this Triple Crown winner that's, you know, reeled off six races in a row and still looks unbelievably fresh. I mean, it's incredible the way he looks. I mean, he looks really fit, but you know, a lot can happen in the next couple of weeks. So we're just enjoying them right now and see what happens.
Are you surprised or just what's your reaction to looking at him and seeing him on this other end? I mean, you talked after the workout after Preakness, you were thrilled with him maintaining his weight. It looked the other morning just from a little, just the little jogging and galloping that he's as eager as he's been. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, he just eats everything in front of him, and that's the key there. And he's got a great mind for it. So we're just, you know, some horses, they can't handle it. Like X-Man, he sort of fell apart on me the other night at Churchill. You know, he just, going to the gate, he just lost it completely. And, you know, and that's one thing about him. He hasn't lost it. He's kept his composure. Especially when you run a horse so many times, they start, you know, losing their composure. He hasn't yet, you know. Willie, we don't know. You know, Pharaoh, he didn't, you know, he kept his composure, just, you know, but they're just so great, and they're just a different type of animal. They breed different areas, we say, you know. We can use all kinds of different names for them, but he's a super horse, and that's all you can say about him. He's super horse. Pharaoh was a super horse. Airgate, super horse. And West Coast, when he comes back, he's another one that was just getting ready to become a super horse. So, you know, I'm just privileged to be able to, and they're in my barn, you know, so it's like pretty spectacular. The amazing feeling to walk in and I've got all these heavyweights in the barn.
Well, and of course, it's been a great showcase for your entire staff and the whole team with Jimmy and Lalo and Gustavo and everybody has had their opportunity to get showcased, and that's what was so much fun about Saturday night. It really, I think people understand, you know, how much goes into it, and that part of what the great job that you've done.
Well, we just felt, you know, once it's over, we just turn the page and you got to worry about the other ones coming up. So it never ends here. We love what we do, and it's all you can ask for.
No, 2-year-olds are knocking on the door, and the summer meet the Los Al, then Del Mar, and we're looking forward to getting you back here, and whether it's Monmouth, whether it's Saratoga. Bob, brilliant job, and congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. The conversation we were looking forward to, kind of pulling everything together when it came to justify finishing up just the most amazing 4-month run that a horse may have ever had. Honestly, I mean, how do you not place it on a pedestal, an accomplishment that there's nothing to compare it to. that's how singular. That's what makes it singular. It's amazing him. The job he does is incredible. And there's going to hopefully be more chapters. I didn't even get to, I wanted to ask about American Anthem too, you know, who looks like he's back, pointed in the right direction for his win, and some nice, plenty of other assignments that we'll get a chance to discuss with Baffert and, you know, Abel Tasman. I'm looking at my list here. I've still got another half hour of show to try to fill in. We'll save it for tomorrow, obviously. We'll thank Bob Baffert and Tim Gleishon, Catherine Day Phillips, Johnny D, and Doug O'Neill. We'll get to Nacho Correas, and Tom Van Meter will join us tomorrow to pay tribute to Olin Gentry. It's Monday. There's a $7,000 pick 5 carryover at Finger Lakes, and they're going to run the Niagara today. Nice card. Take a look. Don't be shy. Play the flakes. All right? Then, of course, other options. Delaware and Louisiana Downs, Parks, Presque Isle. Thistledown as well, Mountaineer, and Arapahoe. Good luck if you're playing. If you missed anything, 6 a.m. to 9, replay. And with you tomorrow, day one of Royal Ascot. Queen Anne will kick it off at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Should be fun. Hope you enjoyed, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.